In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is a new week. We are in the seventh and last week of Easter, Church Year C. Greetings, God's good people, and welcome. It is Monday today, the 3rd of June, 2019. The church celebrates the feast of St. Charles Lwanga and his companions, martyrs of Uganda. You are listening to Catholic Meditation, always brought to you by the Communications Service of the Diocese of Kumba, Cameroon. Osla Ajebesone is the producer. Remitus Ellard, the webpage director. For presentation, I am your host, Father Blessed Ambang Njume. Thanks for joining us. Let us pray. O God, who have made the blood of martyrs the seed of Christians, mercifully grant that the field which is your church, watered by the blood shed by Saint Charles Lwanga and his companions, may be fertile and always yield you an abundant harvest. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Today's first reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, verses 1 to 8. The Gospel is taken from St. John, chapter 16, verses 29 to 33. I read from the first reading. It happened that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul made his way overland as far as Ephesus, where he found a number of disciples. When he asked, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" they answered, "No, we were never even told there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit." He asked, "Then how were you baptized?" They replied, "With John's baptism." Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, but he insisted that the people should believe in the one who was to come after him, namely Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and the moment Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came down on them, and they began to speak with tongues and to prophesy. There were about 12 of these men in all. He began by going to the synagogue, where he spoke out fearlessly and argued persuasively about the kingdom of God. He did this for 3 months. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let your living water flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control of every situation that has troubled my mind. All my cares and burdens unto you I roam.
Put the gift of the Holy Spirit into use. Put the gift of the Holy Spirit into use. Dearly beloved, we have come to the last week of the season of Easter. Like last week, the readings this week in greater part talk about the Holy Spirit, building up to the solemnity of Pentecost, which comes up this Sunday, June the 9th. In today's first reading, Paul meets a number of disciples, 12 in number, at Ephesus. In his discussions with them, he asked if they received the Holy Spirit when they became believers. Now, why was Paul concerned about they receiving the Holy Spirit upon becoming believers? We recall that after Jesus' resurrection, one of the gifts he gave to the apostles was the gift of the Holy Spirit. He appeared in the room where they were, and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," John chapter 20, verse 22. So the gift of the Holy Spirit was a sure mark and sign of any believer. One other gift was the gift of peace. When he appeared to them, he said, "Peace be with you. My peace I give you." John chapter 20, verse 19. So peace, love, and the presence of the Holy Spirit were gifts and signs that accompanied and identified believers even to this day. It was for this reason Paul asked if they received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was received through the imposition of hands and through baptism in the name of Jesus. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 19 to 20, Jesus had instructed the apostles to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, through baptism in the Trinitarian formula, we receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse 3, the apostles fasted and prayed and laid their hands on Paul and Barnabas. They received the Holy Spirit and were thus ready for mission. Paul himself would lay his hands on Timothy. Confer 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Basically then, reception of the Holy Spirit was through baptism in the Trinitarian formula and through laying on of hands. These two are still efficacious to this day. At ordination, bishops lay their hands on the heads of the ordinandi. This imposition of hands and anointing with chrism are symbols of imparting the Holy Spirit. Also, through baptism, we are baptized in the Trinitarian formula and also anointed with chrism. So at baptism, we also receive the Holy Spirit. But Paul was surprised when the people told him they never heard there was any such thing as the Holy Spirit. They were not even told there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19, verse 2. The question then arose, how were they baptized? Paul later understands when they told him they were baptized by John's baptism. That baptism of John was just for the forgiveness of sins. Only baptism in Christ gives us the Holy Spirit, for John himself had said, "I baptize you with water, but one is coming after me," referring to Jesus, "who would baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit." Luke chapter 3, verse 16. The people, we are told, were later baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came down on them. Acts chapter 19, verses 5 to 6. And after this baptism, the laying on of hands and the reception of the Holy Spirit, the effects could be seen. They were strengthened, motivated, and empowered. They began to witness fearlessly. God's good people, unlike the people of Ephesus, we cannot claim not to have heard of the Holy Spirit. We have each been baptized in the name of Jesus and anointed with chrism. At baptism, we received the Holy Spirit. At confirmation, the Holy Spirit was again confirmed on us. And for some of us, we have been opportuned and privileged again to receive the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands at ordination. At Pentecost, then, it would not be the first time we would be hearing of or about the Holy Spirit. Neither would it be the first time we would be receiving Him. It would only be an opportunity to reconfirm and to strengthen, to fan into flame, as it were, the gift we already once received. As it were, Pentecost comes to recharge our low or running out battery. We were once charged, but now low or almost running out of energy. That energy that is the Holy Spirit. Pentecost therefore comes to recharge us. As with our phones, we recharge them both with credit and power. But most importantly, as we prepare to be recharged, let us not waste the recharged energy. We need to be empowered over, and above all, to be fearless witnesses. Of what use is it having a recharged phone if you have to keep it away without using it? The martyrs of Uganda, whose feast we celebrate today, had received the Holy Spirit when they welcomed Christianity and were baptized in the Trinitarian formula. Being empowered, they bore fearless witness and were ready to die for their faith, even young Kizito, just 13 years old then. They were all burnt alive. They are the pride of Uganda. They are the pride of Africa. They are the pride of Christendom. They are the pride of the church. There is no point receiving a gift for which you have no use or will not put it into use. As we wait to be recharged with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, may we put the gift of the Holy Spirit into use. Be peaceful. Be a fearless witness. Be loving. The Holy Spirit will come with all its gifts and with all its fruits. Let the Holy Spirit bring its gifts and fruits to us, and let those gifts and fruits be visible in our Christian lives. Amen. The Lord be with you. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come on you and remain with you forever. Amen. May the martyrs of Uganda intercede for us. We wish each and every one of you a very fruitful week.